One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. This is Pirate RC, and I'm here in Ocean Beach, California, interviewing Hell Yeah. The guys will go ahead and introduce themselves.
My name's Matt.
Mike.
Hi, I'm Corey.
Hi, I'm Sean.
A few shows lately, and you're trying out some new material, right? Because you just recorded.
Yes.
Glorious new material.
Glorious.
Yes. The response has been overwhelming.
There's a guy outside. Obviously, he read the sign because shirts are optional tonight inside this place.
Oh, great.
Interesting.
That's a bad scene.
We do some very controlled testing, and we notice with the new material, fewer people have been leaving.
So what was recording like? You guys recorded a couple weeks ago. It was like the weekend of the 14th, right? Yeah. So how was that experience for you guys?
It was hot. It was long and it was hot. Every time we had to start recording, I had to turn the AC off. And the temperature would rise about 10 degrees. We'd finish a song and you'd crank the AC back on, so.
All right, so Sean, why'd you have to turn the AC off? Is that a musician thing that I don't know about, or?
No, it just is noisy. And it would come through on the microphones and stuff.
Sean's allergic to temperature.
We wanted people to be able to hear the sweat on the recording.
One thing you learn too in the studio with four other guys for a day and a half is just how often people fart. You know, I mean, you probably keep track of your own farts. Who does? And I have a little notebook, and you know, and they average about 7 to 10 times a day. But then, you know, times 5 in one room, it's not something you can really train for.
Well, it's the Dutch oven, basically, ultimate Dutch oven.
Hi, RC, you know exactly what we're talking about. I think the one thing about the recording was it really did bring us together because, you know, we had a California king and we all slept in the same bed together. You know, it's like you think you know everybody, but when you wake up and, like, you look over and your bass player is holding you, like, it's spooning you. It's like, you know what? Hey, we're a fucking band. We're gonna do this right.
We recorded with a guy named Billy Berg who recorded a band named Ozma, who are friends with Weezer or something like that. And Billy Burke is a wonderful guy to work with because he knows so much about music, and it's an education working with him. He really gives a great discount the next time we record.
Yeah. I know Corey's a newer member of the band. How long has Hell Yeah been together, and how long have you all been with Hell Yeah? So we'll start with Matt.
Well, it all started in 2002. We've had the name since 2002. You know, there's another Hell Yeah out there right now.
Yes, I'm aware of this.
But as I refer to these makeup-wearing rodeo clowns, they spend a little less time huffing patio sealant, a little more time doing your research, find out if name's already in use. But, you know, I shouldn't complain because they brought a lot of traffic to the site, and I've gotten to insult people I never would have gotten to insult otherwise, so I'm very pleased with the opportunity that has arisen. Okay, so to your question, since about 2002, there's been a Hell Yeah. I've been singing and playing guitar in it. Sean is the second oldest member of the band since like 2004. Mike since about late 2005, early 2006. And Corey about 8 months ago or so, something like that. This is the first solid lineup with four people. We really kind of are a whole new batch of songs has come up, and I don't know, I think we have fun, and we won't change the name because it's fun to say Hell Yeah over and over again when you're playing.
Hell Yeah.
Hell Yeah it is.
No, so Mike, you're playing guitar and you're doing backup vocals. Have you done lead vocals in previous bands, or have you always been the backup vocal guy?
I've done lead vocals before. We actually played another band with Hell Yeah. Sean and I were a different band. We always played the same bills with them. And we always thought they were a wonderful band, and I always thought it'd be cool to be joined as forces sometimes, and then they were looking for the guitar player and the singer, and it's my band kind of was on the outs and they were looking for a guitar player, so I started joining.
As far as the new material, what, like, for each of you, I'm sure a different song is something that you find exciting and you're interested in. Now, Matt did most of the writing, right?
I love all these songs. I think they're wonderful. Now, you guys feel free to hurt my feelings.
As far as your contribution to each song, like, what do you bring to it and how do you go about writing your parts? So we'll start with Mike.
He usually has the structure down, the melody, the chords, and as a guitar player, I just add melodies over it, textures over it, whatever. If it needs something, if it doesn't need anything, just colors and textures.
I just like to listen to Matt play, and once, and whatever Matt says, I do, or else he whips me. Look, I had the luxury of having some pretty good drummers fill shoes before I did, so I had something to learn from. And then for all the new stuff that's been going on, it's been fun, you know, playing off what Matt plays. And, you know, I mean, I was in a boy band for 6 years. We were called the Six Pack, the Sweet Dick Six Pack. And so I'm used to just singing and dancing, and it's a great experience for me to actually showcase my talent with some instruments and, like, have shorter hair and wear looser clothes. So it's been really great.
You were in Six Pack?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I was the bad boy.
I used to masturbate to you guys.
It's not about you, Sean.
I still really haven't figured out how to play a bass yet. I'm in the band solely for looks, for being cool. I've got some nice stage moves.
True. And the best tattoos.
True that.
Yeah.
True that.
I've been working on some kung fu moves lately.
Oh, wow.
And yeah,
that's amazing.
Some yoga poses and that kind of thing. So it's pretty hot.
Sean, about your tattoos, you have quite a few tattoos. How many do you have?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The ones you can see or the ones you can't?
I'd say probably about a dozen, give or take.
A dozen? Does anyone else have tattoos in the band?
I don't know, Pirate RC. You're going to have to find out.
All right, so is any of them related to Hell Yeah at this point? Have you put Matt's name on your arm or anything?
No, I haven't, but I've been tempted to on a couple of occasions over a pair of wet panties.
I suggest next time you're home, you get a little mirror and check out your taint. By the time you fell asleep, I gave you a little something to remember me by.
Okay, well, one song that I really like is Living Well is the Best Revenge. Uh-huh. And so that's on an album from... on an EP or...
We haven't mass-produced that one yet, but we will. Okay. People seem to like it a lot. It's got the nice kind of, you know, start-stop kind of thing and very energetic song. I think most of the songs have a fair amount of energy to them. Yeah. And it's difficult, too, because we're horribly old. And expending that kind of energy, you know, it's not easy, you know. So it usually takes me a couple days to recover.
If living well's the very best revenge, all is forgiven. I think that living well's the best revenge. Look at how I'm living. I'm living without envy or regret. With my head in my hands, this living hell is not. So very best revenge. All is forgiven.
Living well is the best revenge. What do you consider to be living well?
Living longer than my enemies, I suppose.
Yeah.
And living better than my enemies.
It might be in their graves.
It might be 50 years from now, but hopefully I'll live them all.
Who are these enemies tonight?
I don't know about you, Corey.
I think living in San Diego is living well. I mean, as simple an answer as that can be. Living out here, it's a great place to live, great place, a lot of great music out here. And, you know, I mean, when we go on world tours and, you know, we're actually planning on playing the moon and stuff
Hell
like
yeah.
that, but...
Hell yeah.
It will never replace, like, the home here, you know? And we love our local fans.
Okay. The irony of Living Well is the Best Revenge is that the song is not about living well. It's about kind of... being dumped and trying to live well and not being able to do it because you're all fucked up. So that's why the kind of hook is, if living well is the best revenge, all is forgiven. Because I don't really want revenge, I just want to, you know, be back with whoever you are. That line comes from my friend Dan Killian, who's in a band in New York called The K's, and he writes about half dozen songs a week that are wonderful. He's a wonderful songwriter. Oh, I plug my books, and I'm plugging my friend's band. I have a book called Jim and Casper Go to Church. It's about the visits of an atheist and a believer to the biggest mega churches in America. Read it and guess which one I am. My next book is called Jesus Cash.
Matt, if living well was the best revenge,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What would living well mean to you?
Living well is a, wow, you know, it's a loaded question. I like to think I'm living well right now. You know, I have a house, I have a wife, two kids, a job, a band. Fuck, man, I'm living well right now.
You're doing an interview with Pirate RC.
Damn right. So
it's like a dream come true.
Living well is, I think it's a pretty simple equation, you know.
I would have to say my pleasures are much more simple than that. I'm happy that I can... aside from that, I'd have to say that it's nice being able to drink more than anybody else in the band and still do chorus line kicks at head level. Yeah, that's
amazing. That's amazing. So one thing I like to ask is, just to get an idea of what kind of music everybody's influenced by and stuff, what was the first album you bought or first CD you bought, depending on your age?
It was probably Led Zeppelin.
Which one?
I think it was 4. Not a bad one to start off with, yeah.
First CD I ever bought was House of Pain. It was $22.95 in the giant CD box that was like 24 inches wide. Yeah, it's still in my car right now. So, and I'm Irish, so it means a lot to me.
The first album I bought, it was vinyl. It was Blue Oyster Cult, Some Enchanted Evening. I got turned onto it by a guy who played me his 8-track. Yes, I realize I'm dating myself, but I don't regret buying that LP. He told me he went to the guy that played the Blue Oyster Cult 8-track said he went to the Black and Blue tour with Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult. And he said Black Sabbath was better, and I was like, fuck you, man! They don't do Godzilla! But I was young, I've learned a lot since then. I still enjoy the song Godzilla, though.
My first album was the Jungle Book soundtrack. You know, it's all about the bare necessities.
The simple bare necessities.
Yes, the simple bare necessities. That's what it's all about.
Very cool. And what was the first concert you attended?
Ooh, that's a good question. When I was a kid, I went with my dad to see this hippie band play, and everybody's just smoking out. So I don't really remember. I don't know if it was from the secondhand smoke or what, but it was fun.
My parents took me to see the Kinks in 1982. I was in the 7th grade. I came out of the bathroom asking my dad, what's a quaalude?
The first concert I ever saw was Waylon Jennings, and it's probably still my favorite concert. I was 6 years old. I didn't know what an erection was, but I think I had it.
First concert was Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
Dude.
Wow.
Ouch.
What tour? Stormfront?
Glass House.
How did each of you decide to be in a band? A lot of people say they didn't decide, it's just something they had to do kind of thing. So how did each of you kind of get into music? Whoever wants to answer, really.
I started playing in bands seriously, I guess, in like 1990. And I was in a band with these Berkeley music guys, and we did a lot of we did a fucking ZZ Top cover, all kinds of shit that I wasn't digging, but it was just fun to be in a band. I started putting my own tunes together in like maybe 93, 94. And yeah, once you start putting tunes together, my tunes don't sound good acoustically. I need a band, so here I am.
I think if you have interest with your friends, you obviously just gravitate towards something. So all my friends who are musicians or want to become musicians, so we all kind of just start a band, not thinking about it like you said, but it's kind of happened. And we just get together every Saturday afternoon and play Breaking the Law by Judas Priest every Saturday, over and over and over and over and over again. Take a break, come back, play Breaking the Law again over and over and over again. That's how it started.
I was in band in like high school, and I'm not going to say what instrument I used to play because that's neither here nor there. It was kind of gay and girly, but the guy who played bass drum broke his hand, and I volunteered to play bass drum. And I started playing bass drum, and I started playing other drums after school when everybody would leave, because I always knew I should have been a drummer. And then one day, true story, my music teacher came in, and he called me playing, and he asked me how I've been taking lessons. I said I hadn't been. And then I started playing snare drum, and then I started playing drum kit, and that's how I got into music.
I would have to say when I was a kid, I'd sit in front of the mirror for hours just looking at myself and gazing, trying to think of what I could do to make myself that much cooler. And I figured a guitar, that's what I needed, is a guitar. And that was it.
So how'd you get into the bass? Because the bass is definitely a lot different, though. Some people really appreciate the bass and what you're doing, and some people, never even notice. So how'd you get into the bass?
There's not as many strings. That's just it. You know, guitar's got 2 more strings, and that's, 50% more.
So as far as the recordings you guys have, what's the plan with them?
Well, I mean, you know, hand them out to people that want them. Send them to people we want them. I just sent out 2 CDs yesterday to a guy in Sacramento and someone in Texas who, through MySpace, which is myspace.com/hellyeahtheband. And these two guys, I don't know who they are, but they're like, hey, I like your music. You know, I'm happy to pay $1 in postage to get this music played out of someone's car stereo in another town. But, you know, sell them at shows. Don't try and make money off selling CDs. Somebody wants them, cover the cost, you know, $3, whatever. That's it. Listen to them all the time. That's what I do. I, you know, annoy friends and family when they come to visit. Well, listen to my band again? No, wait, listen to it on the left speaker. There's different stuff. Okay, now over here. So obsess about them, perhaps, the recordings. I think that's probably the right thing to say.
I mean,
I plan to obsess about them.
Our biggest challenge is trying to remain infamous, non-famous, because, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, people keep hearing about us. You know, we got to stop people from coming to the shows. We, like, fake them out when the shows are going to be. Because, it's, you know, we want to maintain our day jobs and make sure this is not, you know, we don't want to sell out.
I'm assuming everyone has a day job, so what do you do when you're not playing bass or drums or guitar? So we'll start over here with Sean.
I actually work with a securities firm. It's a brokerage firm, and I'm a marketing manager. I sold out a long time ago.
I work a couple of jobs. I'm a plus-size model. I'm also an explorer. And I do a little work on rodeo clowns, teaching.
So if you were going to name one or two influences on you personally as a musician, who would you name?
Pavement and Judas Priest.
All right, Bob Pollard and I'd say Beethoven.
Who? Beethoven.
John Bonham and Jimmy Chamberlain from the Smash Pumpkins.
I'd have to say Elliott Smith and Paul McCartney.
Good answer.
Yeah, those are great answers. I would say Bernie Taupin, actually, who is Elton John's main lyricist, right?
The guy, genius.
And maybe Elton John, too. But that team, that duo. And I don't play anything, so, but they've influenced me a lot.
No fucking art.
And then who influenced me otherwise? Andy Warhol, maybe, or Interview Magazine, things like that. So,
good answer.
Thank you. I just want to know, what is your favorite cover song? We've been listening to some other music around. What's your favorite song to cover?
You know, we don't play any covers just because my school of thought currently on it is it takes too long. Why spend all that time learning someone else's song? Just play your own. But I play other people's songs at home. I like playing this Heat Miser song called Antonio Carlos Jobim. I know, I'm not trying to be obscure or whatever. It's a song that I like playing on my guitar. Elliott Smith was in Heat Miser. Just a cool song. Just, it feels good to play it, and I play it pretty often, probably more than any other cover.
Cool. Anything by the Beatles or Guided by Voices. I like Simplicity, but you can pull off and practice pretty easily and come off on stage pretty powerfully. It's good to cover, so that's what I like to do.
I would say Bob O'Reilly and Good Times, Bad Times.
I would have to say Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
All right, yes.
Good answer.
Very cool.